Good morning, church.
It's good to see you all. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be able to share with you something of what we've been looking at, started looking at last week in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at the armor of God. But something that struck me as we were just singing then, and that was security. Where do we gain and get our security from? And that's really can be a challenge at times, especially when we look in the world where we are at the moment. I feel for many people in many other parts of the world. If you look and see what's happening still in Ukraine, in Gaza, in other areas in Israel and Palestine, and many other parts around the world, I don't understand how people do exist and survive in such insecure situations. A number of years ago, some of us, in fact, who were here, went to Uganda. Well, we went actually to Rwanda, and we went into Uganda and went into a refugee camp. And it's one that's been mentioned a number of times by Pete Steele and the stuff he's been telling us about some of the work that's going on through the organization he's involved with in Africa. And going into a refugee camp was a very stark and revealing situation. In many ways, frightening. Although it was run by the UN, there was a real presence and sense of the evil that was there. Sadly, there was still a great deal of crime taking place within the place. But the people's living conditions were appalling. And I felt for those people and realised the real need they have in a physical sense to be looked after, but also in a spiritual sense. And there was a tremendous church within that refugee camp. And God was blessing that church and using that church to reach out to the people in that community. But it really struck home to me how fortunate I was in living in this country, how secure and how safe we are. But that has been shaking somewhat this week. And I'm sure many people in many parts of our country would have been rather concerned about what has happened and what has taken place within the sphere of their own towns. And it saddens me to see some of those things taking place. I'm sure as we look again at Ephesians, and we're going to go through that again in the next 4 weeks as well. When I first heard that we were going to be looking at the armor of God for 6 weeks, I thought, golly me, is there enough in there to keep us going for 6 weeks? But the more and more I've looked at it, the more and more I realize how fundamental that is to our Christian experience. How much we need to be aware of the presence of God and know his strength and his power when we come to situations within our lives. Now, don't just look at situations around us in other areas around the world. We see them and recognize the devil is attacking people in different places. But he's a lot more subtle in the way he does it here. And I think we need to be so conscious of the way that God will still get, the devil will still get at us in whatever way he sees our weaknesses are. And we need to know the power and strength of God in lots of ways in respect to that. It's an important passage. I didn't realise how important it was until I read through it for about the 10th time. Now, I needed to read through it that many times for the simple reason of getting it to stick in my mind and realise the depth of what was in there. And I would encourage you all to keep on reading it. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're looking really from verse 10 to 18. But there's a real need to recognize why it was Paul was writing this passage. Now, I've little doubt I will repeat some of the things that Andrew mentioned next week. Next week, the week after, and the week after, and the week after, other people will repeat these things again. But they are seriously important things for us to understand as Christians, to know what Paul was wanting to see in the people at Ephesus. He wanted them to be strong. We've seen this week during the Olympics a lot of people achieving some amazing achievements, amazing skills that they've shown and things that they've done. And I must admit, Joy and I are quite hooked in many ways in watching and looking at it during the week. And it's tremendous to see the achievements that they actually come up with. But in many ways, they are looking at their strength. They're looking at the strength they get from their families, which is good, from their trainers and all the other people around them who were giving support at the time when they needed to achieve in such a great way. Now, we need a strength. We need encouragement. We need help in our lives each day. And we need to be able and willing to acknowledge the need of that. Now, I've read, as I said already, I've read this many times, this passage. I would recommend you read it as well yourselves during this week. Read it through. See what you can get out of it. Go through some other versions of it so as it helps you to understand, looking from a slightly different perspective. There are many, many different versions. And we'll look at it, first of all, in the New Living Translation. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it's looking, as it says in the New Living Translation, the whole armor of God. A final word, but Paul does carry on. No longer be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on all the of God's armor so that you may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you will be able to resist the enemy in evil times. And after the battle, you will stand firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's from good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Some of that, to some of you, might not be the easiest to understand. And there are many different versions, as I've already mentioned. And the Message is a version that is good to read, but perhaps doesn't give all the clear explanation, but it gives us a better understanding overall. So I'm going to read it through in the Message as well. So if you could take that off the screen. So it's whatever you do, if somebody is reading from something like the Message, don't try and follow it in something else. It does cause confusion in your mind and in your thoughts. So just think about what is said here in the Message. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is not weekend war, and we walk away from it and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but for the shouting, you'll be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You will need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, pray. Prayer is essential in your ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one will fall behind or drop out. I think that really does make it perhaps clearer than when we actually read those words in other translations. But let's have a look at it in a little bit more depth. And now I will be repeating some of the things that Andrew said. From verses 10 to 12, there are a number of points that we need to register. One is, be strong. Strength can be recognized in lots of different ways. You may recognize and have recognized it during the Olympics, during this week. You should see some of the weightlifters lifting some of those enormous weights. Some of those who are strong enough to be able to run the distances they do, although sometimes they look weedy. if you actually look at them. But they have that inner power and strength to be able to keep going. Some of them very short. Some of them nonetheless able to succeed in what they are doing. Because Paul has in this passage a real concern that people should be strong. But be strong where? Not in their own strength. Not in what they are able to achieve by what they do themselves. Although I do believe there are many things that God gives us as gifts to be able to be strong in. But he says, be strong in the Lord. And that is where our strength can really come from. We're talking not about strength physical. We're talking about a mental and emotional strength that we need to be conscious of and aware, because we have in the Lord confidence and strength, not self-belief, not belief that we can always do things on our own. And it warns us within this passage, be prepared because it's going to be difficult. It's not something you can do on your own. You need all the help you can get. And we can get that help and strength by our concentration and awareness of what we read in the next section of that passage, God's mighty power. How much do we believe God can do? How much is our trust and faith in him as to what difference he can make? Will he change? Can he change? Yes, I do believe he will change the things in this world, the things that are defeating this world at the moment. We look around and see with sadness some of the things that are taking place. We recognize some of the evil powers that are actually there, which are mentioned here, as well as those that are in heavenly places. And we realize and recognize there is power that is taking place that is very much in contrast with the strength that God has and is able to overcome. Do we believe he can overcome? We recognize what Andrew was saying last week. He mentioned three words to concentrate our thoughts on. Sit, walk, and stand. I see some have remembered it by the mouthing as they actually said it. And the one we're really concentrating very much on is standing. Stand firm. Where are your feet planted? Where is your strength coming from? How easy is it to stand firm? Now, some of you may be aware, I love the Morven Hills. I've been up there many, many times. I know them fairly well, and some of you may know them as well. And the main hill there, the Beacon, has an interesting geological feature that really magnifies one of God's gifts in many ways to us. I suppose you could call it a gift. And that is the wind. Has anybody seen the wind? No? Has anybody felt the effect of it? Well, if you go up on top of the Morven Hills, if the wind is blowing in a particular direction, right on the top of the Beacon, there is a gully cut between the rocks. If you stand in there when it really blows, you will feel the power. And we're only looking at 1,500 feet or thereabouts up on the Morven Hills. You go to other places and you see the wind blowing. You may have felt it in other places. But we're seeing a power that is coming that we need to stand against. And I know you sometimes stand with a lean and you're leaning into the wind to try and overcome it. And our need is to be able to stand when we feel the power of the evil one attacking us. When we have a firm foundation where we're actually standing, it's good to be able to plant your feet. It was mentioned earlier in what Robin was saying about people when they get older find it more difficult to walk around, find it more difficult to stand, more difficult to be able to perform physical functions. It's very true. I'm starting to feel it at times. You know, your knees start playing up, your ankle, etc. And so standing firm is not always the easiest thing to do. But what God is saying to us is stand firm, but stand firm in what God has given us in his strength. And we will look at that in more detail as we continue on. But beware, the devil is there. The devil is continually wanting to attack us. And how he attacks us is at our weakness. And you know your weaknesses, I'm sure. Sometimes you might not recognize them, but weaknesses are different in different people. One of the things that I do believe the devil is used so much in our society, in our situation these days, is doubt. If we actually look at our news and what we see on our news, the BBC has decided they've got to have something called BBC Verify. So as they are making sure that what they get, or trying to make sure, that the news they get is correct. And it's so hard to understand what is right or wrong with the doubts that are put in by different people and the doubts that can so easily occupy people's minds and thoughts. The devil is crafty. He is not someone to be ignored. He is not someone to be disregarded in respect to the need of recognizing his strategies and his ways and his schemes, as it says in some of the versions of the Bible. For there are unseen powers, and that is clear in the passage we've just read, that we are fighting against. But we on our own cannot fight against them. There is a need to recognize that God fights on our behalf. And he's there to give us that strength and encouragement with the power he has to overcome and to fight against those unseen powers. And there are mighty powers in our world, as we've just mentioned, in respect to things that are happening in our world around us. Where is our strength? Where do you get your strength from in living each day in the way you are as individuals and where you are in different places? Who is your enemy? What is your enemy? What causes you to fall? You may have heard of the writer C.S. Lewis. He's written quite a lot of books. One of the best known is Narnia because of its adaptation into a film some years ago. But one of the ones I remember reading some time ago was Screwtape Letters. Some of you may well have read Screwtape Letters, and it's an insight, not so much a truth, but a story really that illuminates the fact of what the devil is like and how he uses others and how he will tempt people in such devious ways, ways that they would not expect or would not really understand. So let's get to the point of what we're really talking about this morning. Really, we're looking at this armor of God. Armor, in many ways, doesn't have a great deal of relevance, certainly not the type of armor we're thinking about here in our present warfare, because there isn't a great deal of comparison with warfare then as it is today. And there's been a complete change in the way people are protected. But what we see, certainly in the soldier, was his belt of truth, which Andrew talked about last week. And I just mention that not to be forgotten, because in John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus Christ is the truth. And that is important to recognize and to understand and remember, because we don't want to see that fundamental of our faith undermined by any of the other teaching that we might hear from other places. But this week, we're thinking about the body armor, the breastplate. Now, the reason the term body armor is used, particularly when we look at the New Living Translation, is the breastplate just makes you think about something that's protecting the front. But the actual armor that the Roman soldiers wore, it had a back to it as well. It was protection for the whole of the important vital organs of the body to make sure they were kept safe against any attack that was made on them. So what we're seeing here is that we need to be aware of the body armor of God and of God's righteousness. Now, what do we understand by that? What does righteousness mean to us? What do you understand if we use that term? We use it perhaps sometimes in modern day that it is used, but it's not a common word we see and use on a regular basis outside a church experience. But if we read, I had a look at a dictionary definition of it, and it didn't tie up completely with what I understand righteousness is all about. But when it's applied to God, the comment in the dictionary was, "Applied to God, the perfection and holiness of his nature." And I thought that did bring out really what righteousness is as far as God is concerned. But that righteousness, when we see it, is difficult perhaps for us to follow and to understand how that applies to us as individuals. Are we righteous? Could we put ourselves down as being holy in our nature and people who are perfect? Certainly not. God is. But if we look back to the theory we've just done in looking at Romans, then that was brought out quite clearly, the righteousness of God. In chapter 1 and verse 17 of Romans, it says these words, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So therefore, what we're seeing there is the righteousness that is by faith, is from faith from first to last. And if we carry on and we look further down into Romans, as we did a while ago, we see in chapter 3 these words. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, "This righteousness is given through faith." And that we emphasized and was emphasized quite clearly. When we look back at Abraham, it was by faith that he was made right with God. And it was by faith that he achieved that and came to that situation. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And that is quite clearly that we are made righteous in God because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. He made things right with God. And that is another way of looking at righteousness, being made right with God, being put right in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, and that's an emphasis of Ephesians. No difference. Jews and Gentiles the same. They all need faith. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We understand truth through our faith in the Lord Jesus. This is how we receive righteousness, through faith in Christ Jesus. We receive our truth through faith in Christ Jesus, and that's how we receive righteousness, through our faith in Christ Jesus. Why are these things so important? They are fundamental to our faith. Where does our faith based? In what do we stand? Do we believe in Jesus? Do you accept who Jesus was, who he is, and what he did when he died upon the cross? What difference he made to us when we have faith and trust and belief in him? He sets us free from those things that can bind us, those things that can disturb us, concern us, worry us, by having a faith and a trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He has done what the law could not do. He has made a difference. He has changed things. He said, "Believe in me. Understand that you are made right in God's sight because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross." And that is an important fundamental for us to accept and to be aware of as we live our lives each day. We need to rest in that knowledge and that strength. So easily we can get doubts in our minds. And I don't know about you, about having faith and trust in God, whether at times that's shaken because we have doubts. I know it's true of many people, and many have written regarding doubts and fears and concern that they may have. But how do we get that support? Where does it come from? Where's our strength and encouragement coming from? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm." There's that need for standing firm to recognize that his power is overcome. The devil's power is overcome by our faith and trust in him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We're not alone. Others suffer, but we have the same Saviour, the same one, to give us strength and encouragement. How then is God going to help us? Let's look in Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. It says, "No temptation has taken you except that is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Encouragement, help. God is there. He's with us. He brings that encouragement. He brings that strength. He brings that help. So it isn't something that we need to look back at and recognize that we are defeated. We have victory. Victory is ours through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can overcome. We can see the power of God working through us if only we put that trust in him. We stand firm. Be strong, as Paul said to the people at Ephesus. He wanted the people there to be strong. Strong, not in their own strength, but in the Lord. So, as conclusion, stand firm in the truth and in God's righteousness. Stand firm in those things. And as we look at the rest of the armors of God that are referred to in the next few verses, or in some of those that we read, look at them during the week, consider them yourselves, and consider and be aware that there's something that can make a difference to each one of us by acknowledging and recognizing our strength is from God. There are powers that we don't know of, that are happening, that are around us, that we cannot overcome ourselves. We need all the strength and encouragement to see and to be able to overcome through his strength. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to resist. We need to stand up. We need to stand firm and know the power of God that is really changing our lives and making a difference in what we do in each day. Jesus Christ, how much does he mean to you? How much has he done for you? How much do you acknowledge your power and strength that is there in him? Having faith and trust in him means that what we're going to do in a few moments, taking the bread and taking the wine, has a significance. How much significance does it have to you in taking hold of a piece of bread? Referred to as the body of Jesus. Jesus Christ gave that body for each one of us. He shed his blood for each one of us, and that's what we have in communion. We are together coming and celebrating something that Jesus has done for each one of us. He has made a difference. How much difference does he make to you in your life each day? Do you stand firm? Is he strong for you? Are you strong? Not in your own strength, but in him. Let's give thanks, and then we'll pass the bread and wine around before we conclude. Gracious Father, we just thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came and he gave everything for each one of us. And that is where our faith and trust is. And help us to grow in that strength and faith, to be able to stand firm in that strength, and to be able to be aware that you are there for us each day. You are ready to give us encouragement and help when we come face to face with our enemy, the devil. Guide us, we pray, and lead us in our thoughts. But, O Lord, as we now take hold of this bread and this wine, as we soberly think about what Jesus did, help us to be grateful and thankful. Help us to be people that recognize the gift that we were given of Jesus Christ's death upon the cross that makes so much difference. Of his blood that was shed for each one, blood that was shed because he cared and he was concerned about the needs that we have as individuals, and that the righteous desire and need of a Father was met through his death and blood that was shed upon the cross. So help us and encourage us as we take hold of this to be aware of how good you have been to us and how grateful we are for Jesus Christ. We thank you. Amen.